Meine sehr geehrten.
Ladies and gentlemen, I too would like to wish you a warm welcome to today's conference call and together with Volker Nickel. I'll begin by summarizing the most important developments of the third quarter of 2021. In this quarter, we delivered strong operational performance with a significant increase in both sales and earnings. All divisions showed strong growth momentum. Our agricultural business posted exceptionally strong growth compared to the previous year's period, mainly due to volume and price increases in North America. And we're also seeing a good start to the season in Latin America. Our pharmaceuticals business also achieved strong growth, benefiting in particular from major gains for our ophthalmology drug, Eylea. Our consumer health division also posted very good sales figures in all regions' product categories. Demand continued to rise, in particular for our nutritional supplements. Based on the good performance of the third quarter, we're today updating our 2021 guidance that we've already upgraded in August, and this confirms our good business performance. We've also made good progress with the launch and development of new products in the third quarter. At Crop Science, we launched a whole host of new products very successfully. We're talking, for example, about new soybean seeds in North America and Brazil, and crop protection innovations for maize cultivation. At Pharmaceuticals, we're seeing encouraging progress with our product launches and the further development of our pipeline. In the third quarter, we launched Kerendia in the United States. It's the first drug of its kind for patients with chronic kidney disease and type 2 diabetes. We've also obtained EU approval for Vacuvo, a product for the treatment of chronic heart failure, in the third quarter. This marks a further milestone in the global market launch of that product. We're also making progress well with our cancer drug, Nubeqa, which has achieved promising growth, especially in the United States. In addition, we've initiated a phase 3 trial in the continued product of elinzanetant, a product for menopausal women. We believe that all these medicines are candidates for blockbusters, each having a peak sales potential of more than €1 billion. In the third quarter, we also acquired the U.S. company Vividion. As a result, we are now in a position to develop novel chemical compounds that address target proteins that could not previously be addressed. This considerably strengthens our pharmaceuticals business with positive effects on numerous therapeutic areas. In addition, there's been some good news about Xarelto. The European Patent Office reversed a first-instance decision and maintained our patent on the most widely used once-daily administration of Xarelto until mid-January 2026, which is almost 2 years longer than previously anticipated. At the level of individual countries, the patent is still, of course, open to challenge. At Consumer Health too, we launched additional innovations under the umbrella of our well-known product brands. One example is the global launch of Bepanthol-Derma, which was successfully advanced in several countries. At Bayer, however, we've also set ourselves highly ambitious sustainability goals that we're working on actively. Take climate protection, for example. As you know, we're committed to becoming carbon neutral in our own production operations by 2030. This means that by 2029, we'll reduce our own emissions by 42%. And I can also tell you that we're on track to meet our reduction targets for 2021. In addition to investments in more efficient facilities and building technologies, we're also extensively harnessing renewable energy sources. As of the end of the third quarter, this year, we have concluded agreements covering about 400,000 megawatt hours of green energy. As part of the LEAF coalition, in addition, we've worked together with governments, non-governmental organizations, and other companies to mobilize more than $1 billion worldwide to protect rainforests in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. This means that our endeavors are helping to ensure that the goal of the ongoing global climate summit ending global deforestation can be achieved. As we've already outlined, we're also aiming to improve access to family planning, especially in low and middle income countries. As part of this commitment, we've recently announced plans to build a new production facility in Costa Rica and to expand our existing plant in Finland. Birth sites are set to produce long-acting reversible contraceptives in the future. Our sustainability target is to provide 100 million women with access to modern contraception by 2030, and to achieve that, these investments totaling 400 million euros in Costa Rica and Finland are a real milestone. Innovation, performance and sustainability. These are the cornerstones of our company's long-term alignment. I'll come back to this again in a moment, but first of all, I'd like to hand over to Wolfgang Nickl, who will take you through the third quarter figures and the outlook for the full year 2021. Yes, thank you, Werner. From me too, welcome everybody to today's conference call, and I'll come to the figures for the complete group before I move on to the business performance in the individual divisions. And please note, when I talk about sales growth, I'm always talking about figures adjusted for currency and portfolio effects, unless explicitly stated otherwise. In the third quarter, Bayer achieved double-digit growth in both sales and earnings in the third quarter. Sales grew by 40% to 9.8 billion euros, and all three divisions contributed to this encouraging performance. Our earnings KPI, clean EBITDA, advanced by 16% to 2.1 billion euros, while the clean EBITDA margin came in at 21.4%. Core earnings per share increased by 30% from 81 cents to 1.05 euros. This is driven primarily by the strong earnings performance of Crop Science. Free cash flow advanced by nearly 60% compared to the previous year to just under 2 billion euros. That is with the figures for the divisions, and I'll begin with the agricultural business. Business in the Crop Science division expanded significantly in the third quarter, with sales up by 26% to 3.9 billion euros. The seed and trays business registered particularly strong gains here. In North America, this is mainly due to lower product returns compared to the prior year quarter, as well as higher license revenues. In South America, the business benefited in seed and trays business from higher prices and volumes, and also from the launch of a new corn tray. Herbicides business expanded as a result of higher prices, especially in North America. Clean EBITDA at Crop Science came in at 471 million euros in the third quarter, compared to minus 34 million euros in the same period of 2020. During this quarter, good performance was able to offset the increase in the goods sold and the higher research and development investments. Regarding the glyphosate litigations in the USA, I'd like briefly to point to the five-point plan, which we provide specific information about this summer. We're making good progress, and in the US Supreme Court will decide whether to hear the Hardeman case for review. A positive outcome in the coming year would then effectively end the litigation. In the event of a negative outcome, we've already made an additional provision of $4.5 billion before taxes and discounting in the second quarter to cover possible long-term risks. That's what we'd already communicated. That brings me to our pharmaceuticals division. Sales of pharmaceuticals climbed in the third quarter to around 4.5 billion euros, which corresponds to a growth of 7%. This was driven particularly by Eylea, the ophthalmological medication, and in all regions, the business with ophthalmology drug expanded significantly, with sales up by nearly 20% overall. In a growing market, we captured market share. Also, thanks to the continuing commercialization of Eylea, prefilled syringes. In particular, business continued to recover from the COVID-19 restrictions, especially in Europe. Sales of our anticoagulant Xarelto grew by 4%, largely thanks to expanded volumes in Russia and Germany. In China, the business of Xarelto declined due to falling prices. which is an encouraging process with the progress of the market launches of Nubeqa and Verbuca, which Van has already mentioned. In the third quarter, we also achieved the first sales of our new medication, Kerendia, which was approved in July in the United States. Clean EBITDA at Pharmaceuticals came in the third quarter at 1.4 billion euros, which is about 10% lower than the previous year's period. That was due to increased research and development investments, including in the area of cell and gene therapy. Then there was the market launch of new products, which also led to an increase in expenditure. We were able to maintain a strong pace of growth and business with over-the-counter products. Even compared to a very strong period in the previous year, business expanded across all regions and product categories, and overall sales of consumer health rose by 11% to 1.3 billion euros. The most important driver for growth in nutritionals was the category that increased by 20%. Pain and cardio also achieved substantial growth of 17%, and this is partly attributable to a product line extension for Aleve. In the cold and allergy category, sales increased by 7%. In the previous year, the COVID-19 measures led to a decline in business there. Clean EBITDA at Consumer Health rose by 2% to 308 million euros. High investments in innovation and product launches held back the earnings. Now let's move on to our guidance for the full year 2021. After the second quarter, we raised our guidance in August. After the second quarter and following the strong performance in the third quarter, we can update our guidance once again. We're now anticipating stronger growth at our crop science and consumer health divisions, while our pharmaceuticals guidance remains the same. As a result, we're now expecting group sales growth adjusted for currency and portfolio effects of around 7% instead of 6% previously. On the slide, you can see the outlook for our financial KPIs with different assumptions regarding currency effects. You'll notice that with the core earnings per share, we've also slightly raised our forecast. We're now expecting a better free cash flow because part of the payments to settle the glyphosate litigations are now set to be made in 2022 instead of 2021. In the agricultural business, we've had a successful start of the season in Latin America and now preparing for the 2022 season in North America. Our U.S. production facility in Luling, Louisiana, was out of commission for around 5 weeks due to Hurricane Ida. The plant is now back up and running and is operating at full capacity, and we expect that the negative effect of the production stoppages will be largely offset by the positive growth momentum that crop science will continue to see in the fourth quarter. In the pharmaceuticals division, we're also expecting to meet our forecast. Despite the pressure on price in China, we continue to anticipate stable growth for Xarelto. And for Aleve, we are expecting sales growth in mid to high teens in percentage terms this year. At Consumer Health too, we are also back on track to deliver on a strategy and aim to grow in all cancer regions and consumer health. However, the situation remains somewhat volatile in our cough and cold business, which we monitor closely because we need to watch out for the effects of COVID-19. And with that, back to Werner. Thank you, Wolfgang. As you can see, our third quarter performance shows that we're heading in the right direction. This applies both to the operational development and to the market launch of new products. This ability to invest in scientific research and develop innovations has always been Bayer's lifeblood, and that is still the case today. We've aligned our corporate strategy and therefore our innovation potential towards these systemic sectors of health and nutrition. And so we are looking to help solve a question of fundamental importance, namely, how, in a time of climate change, do we feed and satisfy the healthcare needs of a growing population? This question is just as relevant as it is topical. It is one of the issues that is being discussed at the moment at the World Climate Summit in Glasgow. There, we can see a growing number of countries making specific commitments to become carbon neutral in the coming decades. It's a development our company welcomes. We can't be sure what outcome the negotiations will bring in Glasgow over the next few days, but I do hope this opportunity is seized upon by a large group of countries to join together a kind of climate club that will define clear objectives and necessary action. In view of all the specific steps to take on the long journey towards carbon neutrality, it's clear that new technologies will be vitally important. What we need, quite simply, is more progress and more openness to innovation. I think that time is right for that. Firstly, because at present we're seeing an enormous advance in science. And secondly, because we need to act rapidly. And thirdly, because with the COVID-19 vaccines, we are currently all experiencing the value of research and development for society in a tangible way. And this is an experience which, especially in Europe, we should be able to carry over to other technologies. At Bayer, we're working together with partners on a number of projects involving new technologies that can add real value for society. Take fertilizers, for example. Nitrogen fertilizers today are used to grow about 40% of the world's food, but they also account for about 4% of all greenhouse gases. We therefore need alternatives. Via our LEAPS unit, we have invested in a number of biotech startups which are harnessing various technologies in their research on microbial engineering. If it works, then as the middle of this decade, it would be possible for more crops to effectively fertilize themselves, and that would be really good news for the climate. Or take as a second example, Parkinson's disease. Currently, there are two different approaches to treat the nervous system disorder, which are in clinical phase 1 trials. In both cases, these are completely novel therapies. There's a cell therapy and a gene therapy. Parkinson, at present, is an incurable disease, and no real progress has been made in it for decades. If we could achieve a breakthrough here, it would be a groundbreaking innovation for millions of patients. Those are just two of the long-term innovations we're researching. We're investing in the future with more than 13,000 researchers who, day in, day out, go about their work with great dedication. With more than 5 billion euros that we invest in research and development every year, and with the countless partnerships that we engage in throughout the world. Many of our specific projects nowadays are centered on what experts refer to as the bio-revolution. By that, they mean the significant progress in the field of cells and genes that's being accelerated exponentially by artificial intelligence and the digital transformation. Bayer is better positioned than any other company to harness the innovation potential of the bio-revolution in the fields of health and nutrition. And we shall continue to work tirelessly to make that happen. Ladies and gentlemen, as you will have seen yesterday, there was not just a press release on the third quarter this morning, but also one relating to some personnel news. After more than 30 years at Bayer, Liam Condon decided to pursue a new career challenge, and I'd like to wish him all the best and every success in that endeavour. I'd like to thank Liam most sincerely for the many years of trustful collaboration we've shared. Liam has been of great service to Bayer, and at the end of the year, we shall give him appropriate send-off. He'll be succeeded by Rodrigo Santos, a renowned expert with more than 25 years of industrial experience. He will take over the Crop Science Division as of the 1st of January 2022 and take over Liam Condon's seat on the Board of Management as well. I'm looking forward to working with him in future. Thank you for your attention. Now we look forward to taking your questions.